Back with a special Lake Effect broadcast live from Cudahy's Irish Pub at the Pabst Theater. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's a forum as part of our Project Milwaukee State of Upheaval coverage. We're joined today by Joe Sanfilippo, Malele Coggs, Stephanie Sue Stein, Mary Eisbister, Jocasta Zamarripa, Robin Voss, and Hedy Eyscheid. And we're talking about the past year in politics, and I want to get at the idea of a mandate here. And let me ask this question, and maybe I'll direct it to Jocasta Zamarripa. To what degree is everything that has taken and is taking place simply a reflection of what Wisconsinites say they want, at least in the sense that they place their trust in the people they elected, people like yourself and people like Robin Voss and the rest of the legislature?
Well, you started out with mandate, and I'll tell you, not one of us in the legislature has a mandate, in my opinion. I mean, Governor Walker is our governor, but nevertheless, I was elected in that tumultuous month back in November of 2010. So we've got to make sure that, and I think we had one of our other guests say earlier that we've got to work together, and we have to consider both sides, give both sides of the aisle a chance to vote on bills that affect all of Wisconsin and all Wisconsinites. And so this notion of the governor having a mandate, I do struggle with that.
But why isn't it just the idea that democracy is playing out like democracy always has, and the people that get elected are elected because enough people in their particular district say, we trust you to make the right decisions on our behalf? And Hedy Eyscheid, do you want to jump in on that? Absolutely. After Jocasta?
Yeah. Democracy is not playing out the way democracy always has. And that is why we are here today talking about the tumultuous state of politics in Wisconsin. Earlier this year, in February, we voted on a very controversial bill, probably what will be the most controversial bill of my political career, and that is the budget repair bill. And when it came down for a vote in the assembly, the vote was rolled. The roll was held open for a little over 15 seconds. In fact, 17 seconds it was opened. 28 members were not allowed to vote. I was not allowed to vote that night. I lost my right to vote. So democracy is not playing out the way democracy usually does in Wisconsin.
Hedy Eyscheid.
I would kind of like to echo a little bit of what was just said in that democracy is not being played out. I think here there are a lot of things that I know educators are concerned about. I know I am concerned about how we see our schools and our children being used as political pawns. And I think that it's important for us to remember the things that the governor campaigned on are not a lot of the things that he's doing right now. And my members who voted for him are very concerned about the degree to which he has taken certain segments of our Wisconsin population and made them the scapegoat. And that is a concern that I know I have as an educator. That's a concern that many of my colleagues have as an educator, as educators.
Robin Voss, should there be a distinction between the kinds of issues that were being talked about in I would say the last election, but we've been in kind of a constant state of election, but before the 2010 election, and the kinds of issues that came up before the legislature in that session? And what is your notion of the idea of a mandate?
Well, I believe that Republicans were given a mandate. Remember, there were only two states in the entire country that had the massive turnover in elected officials that Wisconsin did. Maine and Wisconsin were the only two states that saw an entire flip of state government from united Democratic control to united Republican control. So I think that the people all across Wisconsin were looking for something that was totally different than what had been going on in the past. Remember, Republicans and Democrats alike had been really making bad judgments, I would say. Governor Doyle had massive tax increases. He expanded programs way beyond our ability to pay, left us with a huge fiscal hangover. Republicans, to their detriment, also probably went along with that too much, didn't have a way to actually pay for it, believed in using funds that shouldn't have been used for the same purpose just because it was easier to get done. So there were massive changes that needed to be made. I do agree with the previous commentator who said that we shouldn't be using children as political pawns, and I think it is sad that in so many ways, earlier in the spring, the unions chose to use children as political pawns, because we now are seeing the examples all across the state. I just got an update from my office, a contract in the school district in Bristol. They were able to save so much money on changing their health insurance, which the teachers union for decades had fought against, that they're now giving all their teachers a 5% raise. So I think that there are examples all across the state where we are doing things differently. Now, because we're not going along and getting along like we used to in the past, sometimes that means that people aren't going to be happy with the results. But the voters chose a different direction, and they are going to see the results as we move into the next phase of what's going on in the rest of our economy, which is to make sure we are growing private sector jobs and not just continuing to raise taxes on job creators to fund those who are on the public sector.
Hedy Ashad, you wanted to jump back in.
Yeah, just a comment on the tools that the governor gave to different districts around to the districts around the state. There may be some examples of places, as you mentioned, where that occurred, but a recent survey of superintendents indicated whether or not they implemented the tools that were given to them by the governor, there are districts that are still suffering. And I think it's important to recognize that early on in all of these discussions, the workers indicated that we were willing to give on the insurance and the benefit, the insurance and the WRS piece. It was the concern we had was losing our voice at the table, our voice for our kids and for our schools. So,
Joe Sanfilippo.
I think that we have to remember that while there was talk of willing to give concessions, when it came right down to actually having to do those concessions voluntarily, they weren't taken advantage of. And a prime example of that is MPS. They had a vote to try to stop some teachers from being laid off, several hundred of them, and in the end the union said, no, we're not going to make the concessions. And I can tell you as a member of the personnel committee or chairman of the personnel committee at the county, what's said publicly often doesn't match what's done privately. And so that's why these changes had to be made.
Mary Eisbister?
I guess not being of a political persuasion or not being in politics myself, being a business owner, I look at the end of the day, what are the results? How do we measure whether or not our schools are working, whether or not we're getting the results that we need to get for our children and ultimately for the workforce that this business community needs in order to maintain any kind of revenue stream for the whole state. So it wasn't working. What was happening in our education system wasn't working. And for the status quo to remain as it was would only doom us to continued dysfunction in our education system. Now, we can all disagree as to, you know, who said what about giving up what, but at the end of the day, in order to fix the education system, some pretty significant and dramatic changes needed to happen. And I think it's unfair at this point, since it's not been even halfway into a semester in the new school year under these new contract agreements, to even suggest whether or not it's working or not yet.
Can we stipulate maybe that part of the problem is that whatever the plan is and whenever it's put into effect, it's likely not to see results until well after this election cycle or even the next election cycle or even the election cycle after that?
Absolutely. I think we have to number one, understand what metrics we're going to measure, and two, then give it time to take effect.
Malele Cogs, let me let you jump in, and then I want to shift direction a little bit.
You spoke to mandate, and I hear the words of change. I think we all can agree, whether it's education, whether it's the tax levels or whatever, there's always a room for improvement and a need for improvement. The question is the way you go about that improvement. And though we may disagree on how to do it, it's the way that you do it. And I'm not talking about resulting policy. I'm talking about meetings late into the night and into the early morning with very little public notice. I'm talking about bills that impact the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County without there being public meetings scheduled in the very cities that are going to be most impacted by them. I'm talking about bills being scheduled without numbers even being given to them. I'm talking about a city of Milwaukee Intergovernmental Relations Department lobbying for some questionable legislation that may have an impact on the state constitution and its interpretation and our ability to even effectuate the law as it is passed, and the issue, for example, being the pension contribution of the city and the debacle that we just had to go through as aldermen. And we're nonpartisan. So it's not about what ended up being the decision. It's about give us some legal direction, because there is a question here. And we're talking about about a governor who didn't do that. And we're talking about people in control in Madison who aren't having public meetings that people are asking for in the very cities that are going to be most impacted. We're talking about meetings that are not properly noticed. We're talking about a whole bunch of stuff. It's like this. To the victor goes the spoils. Whoever wins, Democrat or Republican, we understand it's different ideologies and all of that. But there's a question of fairness. There's a question of transparency. There's a question of involvement of the citizens who are going to be impacted by the decisions we make. So whether we disagree ideologically or not, one thing that we should be able to agree on is the process and the fairness of that.
I have about 17 follow-up questions, but I'm actually going to shift direction here and apologize to anyone we didn't get to. New job numbers came out this week, which showed the state continues to lose private sector positions. The conventional wisdom was that this should be a business-friendly climate. So what is happening here? Joe Sanfilippo.
Well, you can't take 8 years of mismanagement, bad policies that discouraged businesses from locating into our state, and put us in a very fiscally perilous position, and you can't change those overnight. You have a business community that, you know, when the private sector is going to invest money, they do so cautiously, and they want to make sure that these changes that were put into place in Wisconsin are actually going to stay and we're going to be moving forward before they're going to start putting their large investments in. And so I think as over time, you're going to see the private sector is going to look favorably upon these changes. Our rankings in many business magazines have moved up significantly, saying that Wisconsin is turning the corner. We've just come off of 8 years of very bad programs and policies that were put in to encourage private sector business investment. It just wasn't there. And we had a $3.6 billion deficit. So we need to prove to people that we can manage the finances of the state and that we are going forward before somebody's going to come in and make a very large investment and start hiring. But I think we're on the cusp of that happening.
Mary Eisbister, you are on the ground in the job creation world. How much difference can the state make versus bigger things that are going on either in the state or across the country?
I think the biggest thing for business is ambiguity. And we understand that when we hear the Wall Street numbers, you know, up and down and in and out because of uncertainty, whether it's in Europe or locally. It's the same thing for businesses everywhere. It's very difficult to want to make investment when you don't know tomorrow if your governor's going to get recalled, what's going to change in any of the policies that have just been put in place. So, yes, although I believe personally that since the governor took office, there has been a much friendlier business climate in a lot of ways, but there's still a huge amount of ambiguity because of all of this uncertainty, and therefore you're going to see the private sector being hesitant until we're certain what's going to happen next. There are absolutely certain sectors of industries that are growing. Personally, as a manufacturer, we're seeing a significant increase in our business over the last, previous to the last 2 years. Our biggest problem right now is not being able to find enough people to you know, develop our workforce so that we can meet the needs of the business. But it's the uncertainty, and as long as that exists, there will be a hesitation to invest here.
Joe Casta-Zamarripa.
Well, there is an uncertainty in Wisconsin, and that is because of Governor Walker and the Republican majority. And I think Supervisor Sanfilippo makes a good point when he says we're coming off of 8 years of bad leadership, and I would say that we could say the same thing under 8 years of President Bush. But I doubt Supervisor Sanfilippo would give President Obama that leeway. And so I won't give it to Governor Walker either. This tumultuousness in our state, I think, is making people very apprehensive to set up shop here in Wisconsin. And again, I really strongly feel that if we would have done this in a much more democratic manner, I think that the Assembly with the Budget Repair Bill had the votes to pass the Budget Repair Bill back in February, and there was no need to roll it and take away people's right to vote that night. But they didn't, unfortunately. There's been this heavy-handed manner in the way that Governor Walker has run the state, and that is why we're seeing these recalls, this tumultuousness, this division in our state. So there's my response to that.
Robin Voss, do you want to weigh in on the disconnect seemingly between the business climate that the conventional wisdom says is here and the job numbers that have been coming out?
Sure. I will actually give some leeway to President Obama. He did not necessarily cause the economic problems that we're in. I think he doesn't deserve all the blame. It's only about what you do to try to fix it, where you either get blame or you get credit. I think he has the wrong prescription for America, but that's a different day. But I can judge Governor Doyle's 8-year tenure and say at the end of 8 years, we were in worse position than we are today. Now, let's look at these numbers that just came out. It's important to look all the way into the numbers, because if you remember back in November, we also had job loss. But we also know, and it probably wasn't in the story that you read, that the job numbers were actually revised upward. So initially they said we had lost 9,700 jobs. They actually said the number was only 2,400, that there were 7,000 more jobs created than the estimates accounted for. So we know that here we had 8,500 more jobs in the state. Unemployment dropped by 10,300, and the labor force shrank, which is why the unemployment rate dropped. So I am confident that our policies are working. But both the previous commentators made the very best point. I'm a business owner. I have about 20 employees. I started with 2. I now have 20. What had me invest more in Wisconsin was a belief that times were going to get better. And that is exactly why we're moving in that direction. Mary is exactly right that when you look at the tumultuous state of a recall where political partisans are saying they are willing to use every single Wisconsinite, employers, their employees, as political pawns to achieve a result, I think that's bad for our economy, which is why we need to reelect Governor Walker. We need to show people that we have faith in the direction that we're going in, and jobs will keep coming here. If it is literally an election every 12 months, you will have businesses flee our state, which is why this recall has been the very worst thing for our economy, and it needs to quickly be put down so that we can show we're heading in the right direction.
We're going to take one more quick break and then be back with the rest of our conversation. You're listening to a special live Lake Effect broadcast, a forum for Project Milwaukee, State of Upheaval, on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, live from the Pabst Theater.